You are listening to KTWHLP 99.5 FM in Two Harbors, Minnesota. My name is Jackson Leon. Also in the studio with me today is Logan Cox. And we have over the phone BJ Kolstad. How are you doing today?
I'm well. Thank you, Jackson.
And this is the second time we've had you on in the past month. Last time we were talking about the Two Harbors Alert System, but today our Lake County Emergencies Manager has some more fun stuff to talk about. But before we get into that, can you tell me what you do as the Lake County Emergency Manager?
Every county in Minnesota is required to have an emergency manager, and we don't respond to all the 911 calls because we have other responders who do that every day. So I spend a lot of my time planning and working with those people to do training and exercises together, and also how to mitigate the effects of some of these disasters, whether it's a wildfire or a flood or something like that.
So a very important role you have in Lake County, and thank you very much for being our Lake County Emergencies Manager, BJ.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure.
But today we're talking about CERT training. What does it mean, or what does CERT training mean? What does CERT stand for?
CERT is an acronym, of course, for a Community Emergency Response Training, or Community Emergency Response Team. And we offer these classes. We've offered them several times in Lake County before. And the class is designed for anyone to participate, anyone ages 16 and up, or even 14 if they come with their parents. And the purpose is to let the public know how to best prepare for emergencies in their homes, and also, of course, in their neighborhoods, their workplace, their school, their community. And then the Community Emergency Response Team are people that have been through this class who then decide to join our volunteer team to help respond when Lake County has an emergency.
And I like how you said that, preparing for emergencies in your home. I think that clears stuff up, but I'm wondering what kind of emergencies can occur in someone's home?
Well, probably the most common one is a house fire, and there are things that you can do to prevent that, of course, and there's a whole list of things like not to cover your electrical cords with carpets and things like that, but one of the most important ones, of course, is to install smoke alarms in your home. And right now, the American Red Cross, we work with them to install smoke alarms that they give us for free, and we can install in any homes in Lake County for free if you have an old smoke alarm. If your smoke alarm is over 10 years old, it should be thrown away and replaced, because even if you replace the batteries and you have good batteries, it's the sensor in there that goes bad after 10 years. So the Red Cross and we work together to replace those smoke alarms in people's homes.
So would you say that all of the emergencies that can happen in a home are preventable, or are there some that you just can't prevent?
They're not all preventable. For example, if there's a wildfire and you have to evacuate your home, that's not preventable. Or sometimes if there's a flood, something like that, and something outside the home that might affect your home, like if there's a hazardous material spill outside the home. Sometimes we have people to shelter in place, which means close your windows and turn off your air conditioning so that you don't take in outside air into your home until the wind can clear that away. So they're not all preventable, but they're almost all can be mitigated. The effects of the damage or the impact can be mitigated by some things that we do.
Everyone could be informed about the appropriate response to have.
That's part of the class.
Yeah. So speaking of the class, on the flyer that we have here, it says April 5th through 7th, but you just informed me just before the call that has been postponed.
Right. We've postponed that until this fall. People can still look for that in the Community Ed Flyer this fall, and we'll do it again. The instructor wasn't able to be there. That's me, and something came up where I can't make it that weekend. So we've done the class before, and it's been very successful, but we're going to put that off till this fall. So one of the things that I wanted to share with you, if we have time today, is just a few things that people would learn in the class, but that we want everyone to know and to be prepared to do in advance. And so you can do things like make what we call a go kit and a stay kit and things like that.
So what are a go kit and a stay kit then?
Well, a go kit is just a day pack, for example, that you can have ready to grab and go when you need to evacuate your home on short notice. So if you have a house fire, we don't want you to spend time gathering things in your home or anything. We just want you to get out, because sometimes you only have 1 or 2 minutes to get out of your home if there's a fire. But if you have a little time to evacuate, for example, you get noticed that there's a wildfire on the way or a flood coming, then if you have a backpack that you can grab and go, then when you go to a shelter or a hotel or wherever you end up, you'll have the things you need. And so I can tell you a little go kit should have about 4 things in it. Can I go through them for you?
Of course.
So So the first thing that the Red Cross says most people forget when they evacuate their homes is a cell phone charger. We bring our cell phones, but we don't have a charger, so when the cell phone goes dead, it would be nice to have a charger so you can get all your data and contacts off your phone. The second thing is some kind of memory device like a flash drive that has your important information or documents on it. It might have your license and insurance information. It might have your pet information, like your rabies vaccination, so that you can bring your dog with you to a shelter. It should have some of your favorite family or other photos, and also a little video of your home or your room or your car so that you can document your personal belongings for insurance information. So that's number two. Number three is to have a quick, simple set of clothes, like a change of socks and underwear and T-shirt and shorts, so that you can wear those things if you end up in a Red Cross shelter or somewhere else while you wash your clothes. And maybe if you have a dog, you should have a leash in there so that you're ready to go. And the last thing, fourth thing, is a list of other things that you should grab in your home if you have the time. And those things might include, like, make sure you bring your cell phone and your wallet, maybe a little bit of extra money, things like that.
I never would have thought of any of those, to be honest with you. So sounds like already before taking the class.
That's why you want you to do them in advance. Do them now.
Even before taking a class, I just learned a lot about that. So that's the go kit. What about the stay kit?
A stay kit is something that it's also called a shelter-in-place kit, which means that if there's a reason that you need to stay in your home for a few days and you can't get out, for example, the roads are flooded or there's a blizzard going on and the electricity goes out, and you have to stay in your home for a few days until you can be rescued or helped or leave again, you need to think about what kind of things you need in your home to make sure you're okay there. The easiest way to start is to make a list of all the things in your home that use electricity that you need, because when the power goes out, you're not going to have lights or heat or water. So the first thing, the most obvious, is an LED flashlight and maybe some batteries and maybe a little extra food and a way to purify some water, so that if you could get water from a ditch or a pond or the snow, then you can have a small bottle of bleach, and you can put a few drops of bleach in a gallon of water and then drink that water. And then you take all these things and you put them in a pail, and you put make sure you have a garbage bag in there, because, of course, when you don't have power and you can't flush your toilet, you're going to need a place to go to the bathroom. And so we want people to make sure that their toilets are not overflowing and you can just use this bucket until you get your electricity back.
Yeah, well, I definitely would have never thought about having kits to prepare for emergencies.
It would make your experience a lot more pleasant.
Yeah, definitely. After explaining all that, that's something that, you know, I might have to start considering for sure. But when you do the class this fall, is it still going to follow the 3 days over the weekend, 20-hour format?
It seems to be the way that it works best, because then the class is usually scheduled for Friday afternoon and evening, and then Saturday and Sunday, and we can do it all in one weekend so that you can immerse yourself in this information. We do a little bit of lecture and discussion with PowerPoints, but also we do a lot of practice skills work. So you might be doing things like practicing using a fire extinguisher and practicing what we call light search and rescue, which is, for example, if you come upon a building after a tornado or a roof has collapsed, you need to investigate the building to see if it's safe enough for you to go in, and then see if there are people in there and how to help them. We'll practice some medical triage, figuring out, you know, if you find people, how you can get them out from under a collapsed item like a wall or something, and then how to help them with first aid until the other professional responders get there.
Okay. And I know you already talked a little bit about it earlier, but is this for all age groups, or is it geared towards certain ages, or...
That's a great question. We want everyone to know this information. Yeah, they can come to the class, which everyone's invited to the class. If you're 16 and over, you can come by yourselves. If you're 14 and up, you can come with an adult. But yeah, we want everyone to have this information, and it's for the general public. After the class, then people who want to can consider joining our CERT team, which is a group of volunteers that work for our emergency manager, that's me, and their purpose is to respond when Lake County has a disaster or emergency, and they prepare for that by participating in meetings and trainings and planned events, like, you know, they do the traffic control at races like Grandma's, and they assist with emergency services conferences, and they do drills with the rescue squad and other volunteer groups.
So if you take the class and you get your CERT certification, you can be part of that CERT team. Are there any other perks to having a CERT certification?
I think the biggest perk is the peace of mind that we get from being prepared with especially with our families and friends, because, you know, disasters happen all the time. We've had them in Lake County. We've had fiber optic failures. We've had wildfires. We've had floods. And when things like that happen, there aren't enough emergency responders to help everyone at the start. So 90% of people who help during an emergency are your friends and neighbors and yourselves. So the peace of mind you get, even with children, we do this in elementary schools, not the CERT class, but we do trainings in elementary schools, just like fire drills, so that even young children know what to do. And the research shows that even young kids feel safer and better if they have planned and prepared for this and practiced it.
So it sounds like not only is it good for yourself, but it's doing a favor to your community to have a CERT certification.
Right. So if you have a workplace or a group of friends, or you're in school and something happens, all these things, you'll know what to do and be able to help each other faster and better.
Great. So since it got postponed, I'm not sure, can people still register for the class?
If they try to register for this one that's scheduled in April, the community ed class, then they'll probably get just deferred until the fall, and we'll take your name and call you back when we get it scheduled in the fall. But the way to register, whether now or later on in the fall, is just to get in touch with community education. So you can go to the community ed website, or you can give me a call at my office, and my office is in Silver Bay. The number is 226-4444. One last thing I'd like to point out about how to be prepared is to make sure you're informed when these things happen. And the way to do that is what we talked about a couple weeks ago, by signing up for Lake County Emergency Alerts. If you go to the Lake County website and just go down to the bottom and look for the little orange button that says Lake County Emergency Alerts and click on there, you can get them on your phone by voice or by text or by email. If you don't have an email, you can call my office in Silver Bay at 226-4444, and I can sign up people who cannot do it online, and they can just list their all phone numbers, emails, texts, several addresses. If people want to get the alerts for many different addresses, like their home, their school, their daycare, their workplace, you can sign up for different places.
Yeah, and after we had that interview last week, actually, I signed up online. It is the easiest thing to do. It only takes like 5 minutes. So it's definitely
That's something I'd encourage people
to do.
I'm so glad, because we really want to get high school students to sign up too, because you have cell phones and you travel a lot.
And we always have our faces buried in them.
You're able to be reached as well. Pardon me?
We always have our faces buried in the cell phones too, so.
Exactly.
So
we want anyone who has a cell phone, we want them to be signed up for these Lake County emergency alerts.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thanks for coming in today, BJ. Always some helpful information when we talk to you over the phone.
Thank you. I really appreciate the time, Jackson. You have a good day.
You too. You're listening to KTWHLP 99.5 FM in Two Harbors, Minnesota. We'll be right back.